Good morning, church. I want to thank our elder for praying for me. It's always good to be prayed for before we speak the word of God. Also, Sister Ethan leading us in a time of worship. It brings back when we sang the Be Exalted, O Lord. It brings back a memory of 30 over years ago. I was brought up strictly in KL Baptist and old traditional church. And when we can't raise our hands when we sing, you know. And when I was in seminary, third year, I was a student pastor of Faddis Park Baptist Church. Same, you know, they're not raise my hand. But the last year when it came to this song, you know, when we sang that chorus twice again, you know, Be Exalted, O Lord, my hand suddenly went up, you know. First time, you know, in 30 over years, my hands raised up. And thank the Lord. The Lord has broken that bondage. Now I raise up my hand all the time, you know, as long as the Lord. So you can raise up your hand, Elder Chini was saying, Chini was telling me he went to the church in Sabah. People were dancing, you know, moving around. Baptist churches can't really move. And also, we talk about the prayer after the service. Last night, when I was preaching here, also, you know, we invite people to come up to be prayed for. Again, very few people come up. You know, I preach in this assembly in Seremban and the OG Church. Yeah, after service, the morning, so many people come up. It takes us an hour to pray for one by one. Not just me, you know, there were other elders there. So I hope, you know, for you, you know, after when we invite you to come up to be prayed for, you know, you can come up and pray, because if you don't come to the prayer meeting and just come to listen to the Word of God, this is a time when the elders and the pastor can minister to you and pray, you know, for your needs. So I hope, you know, you can, take that opportunity to come and pray. Can you listen to me at the back? At the back there, can? Okay, good. Thanks. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father God, I want to thank you again for bringing all these brothers and sisters to here to worship you, and thank you for the worship. We pray, Lord, that you have accepted our worship, because we worship you in spirit and in truth. And this morning, even as we look at your word, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to speak to us. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The passage given to me this morning is taken from Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. The rich man and Lazarus, a very common parable, a very well-known parable. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he says, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." I'm not sure whether you remember, two Sundays ago, I was preaching on the rich fool. And today it is the rich man and Lazarus. I don't know whether it's by coincidence or divine design that I'm always asked to preach on rich people. Two rich people, one fool and one, you know, this one. You know, and yesterday I was, if you see in the Star, I printed the 40 richest Malaysians. I was trying to look whether any of our members' name are there. I'm new here, I don't know, but if there is, you know better, let us know, let the elders know, then we will have no problem paying for the building. Yeah? We still owe a lot of money at the building over there. Yeah, as I have said, you know, rich is nothing wrong to be rich. The rich fool was, you know, he did not see God in his blessing. You know, he did not think about eternity, and he wasn't rich towards God. It's nothing wrong to be rich. And so here we see, as we look at this parable, we see that there was this rich man, nameless, and then there was Lazarus. In all of Jesus' parables, 31 of them, only Lazarus was the only one named. Go back and look at it, you know, there was the prodigal son, there was the good Samaritan, nobody has any name except Lazarus, the beggar. He was given the only name given in a parable is Lazarus here, you know. And now we know that, as I say, you know, there's nothing wrong to be rich. God blesses. One of God's blessing is, you know, possessions. God has rich, you know, bless you. Probably some are born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You know, your parents have left you a large sum of money, or you have worked hard, like the farmer. Nothing wrong, you know, he has a bumper crop and he was rich. Nothing wrong with that, you know. Or good health is one of God's blessing. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." Money itself is neutral. You know, you use money, you know, we can buy the building and leave it for next generation. We can use money to help the poor, you know. But also you can use money, you know, to buy a killer, you know, to kill somebody else. So money is neutral. Nothing wrong with it. It's only the love of money. And so we see this man, a rich man, nameless rich man, he was living a very, you know, very... a life that has been envied, a life that's been admired. Rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and live in luxury every day, my friend. Not once a week have a party. Every day he was having a party. Every day he was dressed in purple and fine linen. And during those times when you're dressed in purple and fine linen, you're very rich. You know, poor people cannot dress like that. But this man was really rich. You know, and then the other side, the contrast in life, you have a beggar, a very rich guy, and then you have a beggar. And you look at this beggar, you know, he was laid a beggar. He was laid, that means he was a cripple. He couldn't walk there. Some of his friends or family members just put him and dumped him there so that he could earn something. He was not only, you know, crippled, he was covered with sores. He was sick, a sick beggar. You know, and hungry, he was longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. And only friend he had was the dogs. Dogs are man's best friend, came and licked his wounds. So you see here a contrast, you know, a contrast in life. A very fabulously rich man and a beggar, both living next to each other. What's wrong with the rich man was he didn't care. He didn't care. He continued to have his party every day, you know. He has no stewardship of God's money. You see, as I said, if God has blessed you, you know, do something with the blessings that God has given to you. If you see a beggar in that state, won't you help him? You know, won't you help? The other day I read on WhatsApp, you know, our famous actor in Hong Kong, Chow Yun-fat. I'm sure a lot of you know him. He said he's going to leave all his millions to charity. He has a wife, Singaporean, I think, you know, no children, you know, but all his money I'm going to leave and give it to charity. And you see him there, you know, on a bus, using money to pay, eating a hawker's food, you know, simply dressed, taking pictures with the people, you know. Rich, multimillionaire. Yet he's going to leave all his millions to charity. Of course, in the West, we have Bill Gates, we have Warren Beatty and the others, you know. And my daughter-in-law works for a law firm in Beijing. The owner of the firm also is a very zealous Christian. He's trying to get all the rich men in China together to do what Bill Gates is doing. You know, give a part of their income to help the poor. Of course, you know, China is very rich, but there are also a lot of people who are poor. They're doing that. Yeah? Helping the poor. And this is not what the rich man was doing. You know? He didn't care about this poor beggar. As I share with you, you know, with the rich fool, we can't take all the money that we have, we can't take even one single cent with us. We may have 2, 5, 6 houses. You know, I remember when I was young, you know, even you have 10 rooms in your house, you cannot, you know, half hour speak in one of the rooms. You only can speak in one room. You know, and when you die, only 3 by 6. That's all you have. How much can you occupy? Okay? So whatever God has blessed us with, you know, let us share with people who are, you know, less fortunate than us. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, it says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Let us remind ourselves as Christians, whatever God has blessed you with, you know, God has given you much. God expects that from you. You know, and if you have been entrusted, and the word entrusted, again, you know, the three servants that Dr. George preached on, you know, the parable of the talents, the word entrusted, you know, it was entrusted to them. It doesn't belong to them. It's entrusted to them, and then if it's entrusted to you, then one day we have to give an account of all these things that God has given to us, not just money, your time, your spiritual gifts, your care, whatever it is that God has given to us. Hey, one day we have to stand before God and give an account of ourselves, one by one. What have you done with all the things that I have given to you? I remember one time, you know, in a choir, I was one of the choir members singing in a choir. And that time I had sore throat, you know. So I told the choir master, I can't sing, you know. Because you see, you're supposed to sing already. Just mouth your words lah. Nobody knows, you know, because in a choir with so many people, just saying, you know, nobody knows. You know? So I went through that lah. No voice, but anyway, so I went through that. But you remember one day, you have to sing solo before God. Now in this whole choir, nobody knows whether you are serving God or not, whether you are doing anything for God. Nobody knows you're in a choir. But one day, all of us have to sing solo before God. Solo, you can't. Nah. If I sing solo, I can't do it. You know? So one day, all of us have to stand and sing solo before God. What have you done with all the things that I've given to you? We have to give an account. Just like the three servants, you know, we have to give an account of ourselves. So this rich man, you know, he didn't care about the poor. In fact, he's definitely a Jew, you know, and from young they have been taught, you know, to take care of the poor. Proverbs itself, at least got four. Now Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21, "Blessed are those who are kind to the needy." Those who are in need, you are kind to them, your God will bless you. And then Proverbs 19:17, "Kind to the poor." When you're kind to the poor, you're lending to God. You know? You're lending to God. You know? And God will reward you for what you have done. Proverbs 21:13, "If we shut our eyes to the cry of the poor, God will not answer when he cries." This is exactly this man. He didn't care about this beggar. And now he says, "Abraham, can you send somebody, you know, Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue?" No, he wasn't answered. He didn't answer exactly Proverbs 21:13. Proverbs 28:27, "When we give to the poor, we will lack nothing. God will bless us. It's more blessed to give than to receive. If we close our eyes, we will receive many curses." Brothers and sisters, Proverbs 28:27. Remember, you know, that when we give to the poor, when we help those who are in need, God will bless us. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Double blessing. This verse actually is more blessed to give than to receive. I always say, you know, if you are able to give, that means God has blessed you materially, then only you can give. You cannot give something you don't have. But when it's more blessed, that means you are also blessed spiritually. The many rich people only blessed, you know, physically. Lots of money, but not willing to give. Like this man. He's been blessed, rich, but not doubly blessed. You know. My three children went to uni. I remember when my son went to Beijing University to study. In the second year, we did not have enough money. So, you know, I wrote to the church, my former church, Straits Baptist Church, you know, for a loan so that I can help him. But the loan was only for 10,000, you know, they cannot give more than that. One of the committee members in that committee called me up. He knew about the loan. He said, Pastor, you don't apply the loan from the church because all they can give you is $10,000. You know, it can't do much. Yeah, my father has set up, you know, a loan, an endowment fund. You apply that and I will help you. You see? A brother in need. And not only my son, he gave a loan. My daughter now is studying in Taiwan, he gave a loan. My third daughter studying in Taylor University, very expensive there. And each of them gave more than 100,000 per person, you know, 300,000. This brother was willing to lend interest-free, you know. So that is why, I mean, people in need, you reach out. I didn't know he had an endowment fund, his father said, I didn't know, you know. But he came to us, he rang me up and offered the help. Thank God for brothers like that. If you see anybody in need, who's in need, genuine need, we reach out to them. Sometimes it's very difficult to ask for a loan. You know, my wife and myself, we have, you know, from the very beginning, this is almost 40 years, we say, we say that we will never take a loan from members. Thank God we have never done that. You know, God is good. Our principle is don't take a loan from any man. Don't ask for a loan. So if I call you in the middle of the night, don't worry, it will not be for a loan, okay? Because that's our principle, we don't take loans from the members, you know. But when we moved here, you know, we wanted to buy a house and we want to charge the house. We still couldn't sell a house in Malacca. We went to charge it, you know, so that we can buy a house here. So my wife rang up to one of his friends and said, you know, you're a big businessman, you know a lot of those bankers, you know, can you help us maybe because of your friendship with them, they're willing to charge because I can't take loans, she can't take loan anymore at our age, you know, and our children just started to work, also can't take loan. If you know of anybody who can give us, you know, can charge our house, then we can buy the house here. He says, you know, I mean, if I'm... Nowadays, very difficult to give loan, you know, very difficult to even give your house all paid for, but still very difficult. They will ask you how you're going to pay back, you know, you have no salary, how to pay back. They can give you a loan, but you have no, you can't show them that you are. And then he rang up this brother said, don't worry, it's very difficult, but I will give you a loan. On my own, I give you a loan, $100,000 a loan, just like that. You know, you see, they're brothers that God, they're rich people that God has blessed, thankfully, who are Christian brothers, you know, who are willing to help another in need. And this should be this, you know. I read many years ago and was a student in Form 3. He says, he's from one of the English teachers. They say, I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good thing, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show a fellow being, let me do it now. Let me not deter or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. I've been keeping this, you know, this is what a Christian should be doing. We will not pass this way again. Whatever God has blessed us, whatever good that we can do, whatever anybody we can help, let us do it. This is exactly what this rich man wasn't doing. He was just living, you know, for himself, just enjoying his life. God wasn't in his picture at all, you know. And James 1:27, it says, pure and faultless religion is what? To look after orphans and widows in their distress. That is pure religion. When we talk about being a Christian, look after those people who are poor, and we serve. Thank God, you know, many churches are reaching out to those, you know, who came out from prison, orphans, old folks' home. Those are the people in need. Let us reach out to them. Otherwise, as I say, one day when we go to heaven, we will regret that we have not done more. One day we will go to heaven and say, I wish I have given more. I wish I have done more. I wish I have cared more. Those are the regrets we will be in heaven, you know. So here we see a contrast in life. A rich man and a beggar. You know, thank God, you know, I'm sure all of us are not that rich, but we are not a beggar. Although our name will never be, you know, in the 40 lah, you know, even 50, 100, you know, hopefully one day one of our young people can be like that. But do you know that all of us here are the top 8% of rich people in the world? I always remind my children that we are the top rich people, 8% of this in the world, not in Malaysia. I received this email many years ago, and wherever I preach, I always tell the people, when you count God's blessing, He says, if you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the people in the world. All of us are there, richer than 75%. We are the top 25%. I'm sure you have a fridge. I'm sure you're, you know, wearing clothes. You have a roof over your head and a place to sleep at night, even if it's a rented place you have. You're not sleeping under the free bridges. You are richer than 75% of the world. 75% of them don't have. And then if you have some money in the bank, in your wallet, a spare change in a dish somewhere, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. That's us. All of us. 8%. Always remember that. And give God a blessing. Tell people, hey, I'm the top 8% rich people in the world, not just in Malaysia. I don't know where this came from. I didn't even check. I'm sure it's true, you know. I've been preaching this. So for you, those who are experts in Google, please Google this and find out where the source is. The third one, if you can read this message, you are more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world that cannot read anything at all. All of us can read that. You see how blessed we are? We read, I read that message. You know, you are more blessed than 2 billion people who cannot read, cannot write. How blessed we are. That's why the hymn says, count your blessings. Very few people sing that song, the hymn anymore. It's God's blessing. Don't complain, this small little thing, you know, I can't buy this, can't buy that. We're the rich people in the world. So thank God for that. Okay, secondly, we see a contrast in life. Now we see a contrast in death. Verse 22. It says, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Another version says, Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. I like the word also. Rich people also die. What? You think rich people no need to die? Maybe they die. So rich already, how to die? But you have to die. The rich man also died and was buried. Here the beggar, you know, when the beggar died, he was carried to Abraham's side. Some of us Christians, you know, when we watch the film in those videos in Hong Kong, you see people die, they walk through dark tunnel, No! Angels come and take us home, so as Christians, don't worry, you cannot find the door to heaven now, where is it? Don't worry! The moment we leave this world, the angels will come there, you see? Even beggar, we are not beggar, you know? The angels will carry us. The rich man also died and was buried. We don't know whether the beggar was buried or not, but it seems, according to historians, normally the Jews are very sympathetic to poor people. They will, you know, give them a burial, decent burial. But this one, you know, the rich man also died and was buried. Of course, when this rich man died, wow, very pompous, you know, funeral. I've gone to funerals, you know, 2-3 days, and then with all the monks and all the what do you call that? Like ในกลัว nuns not the Asunta, the nuns la, I mean the nuns la. One time I was there in Jalan 222, you know, the funeral parlor there. I went into one of my friends, once a friend's a funeral, and I saw, wow, five or six, all those Lamoloa, was there. And then also a few Neku also was there, you know. And I asked my friend, actually, so many now of them, how, why? Yeah. No, they said the more the better for your father who died, you know, because your father had to go through the fire, the river of fire, so more people pray he can go cross faster, you know. I said, how much do you pay that? Oh, $1,000. I mean, all the, no, $1,000 one person. No wonder they get the whole team to come now, you know, 1,000. 1,000 person, and only 1 hour they charge. 1 hour, 1,000. Then I was saying, no wonder they're all driving Mercedes and I'm driving Proton. You know? They've been paid $1,000 a night for 1 hour. And sometimes you have to pray for 2-3 hours. Imagine how rich those Lamolo are. You know? So I'm sure this rich man must have gone through their paid mourners to pray for them. You know? And then he has a pompous funeral. You know? But then he died in spite of his, you know, of his wealth. You know? Wealth. And so, you know, we see here, you know, that when we die, we as Christians, you know, I've been a pastor for many years. Sometimes when people pass away, they always, pastor, how do I bury, you know, my loved one, my daddy, or say, I always advise them, don't spend too much money. You know, don't spend too much money on a burial. Why? You know, sometimes it can be very expensive, a few $100,000, you know. If you buy the land and also, and they say what type of coffin, sometimes they bring the pastor, you know, to choose the coffin for them also, you know. I say, don't, I mean, you're going to burn it, you're going to cremate, why go and have an expensive coffin to burn? You know, buy a cheap one, and if you have extra money, donate it to the church, you know. And my children always ask us when we were in America, ask Alison and myself, Daddy, when you all die, you want to be cremated or you want to be buried? I mean, we Christians, we are not superstitious about this thing, you know. Alison has always tell me, I want a white coffin, you know, white coffin. And I ask this coffin guy, white coffin is the cheapest, you know, because they just paint it. They just spray the white paint. But if not a white coffin, you know, they look at the wood and all the grains and all, it can be very, very expensive, you know. And then how? You want? I say, I die already, I'm sure I go to heaven. It doesn't matter, cremate or burial, you know. It doesn't really matter to us because for the last few months we are here, actually, we both of us attended a lot of wakes and funerals. You know? So I tell my children, you know, maybe the easiest is to cremation. Then the ashes, you know, don't waste it. Put in the fertilizer for the plants, lah. Joyce know my house got 2 mango tree. I say, good. Don't waste the day. Why go and throw to the sea and throw to Cameron Highland? Put there, you know. And if I strap in the flower pot, lah, you know, in front of the house. Then at night when you come back, your daddy will be sitting there waiting for you. I don't want. It doesn't really matter, lah. You know, when we die, we go back to heaven. It doesn't matter what this ashes, you know. That's why, you know, ash to ash, you know, dust to dust. We all created out of the ground, goes back. But the spirit goes back to God. That's the important thing. So Jesus said, don't care what people, you know, they chop you up or whatever, they burn you, it doesn't really matter. You know, like our Lord said, you know, Lord, receive my spirit. You know, Stephen, when he was stoned, same thing. Lord, receive my spirit. The spirit goes back to God. That's the important thing. This body doesn't really worry us, you know. So here we see, you know, that he also died. James chapter 2, verse 26, says, death takes place when the spirit leaves the body. You know, when we die, when the spirit leaves us, then we are dead, lah. You know, as the body is without the spirit is dead, so faith without this is also dead. You know, so when we are, you know, away, when we die, you know, we are away from the body, but we are with the Lord. You know, with the Lord. Like that Paul say, if I choose to be with the Lord, but for your sake, I'm staying behind so that I can preach the gospel more. All of us want to be with the Lord. So when we die, we go back to the Lord. So the last bit is a contrast in, first is a contrast in life, rich and poor. Then a contrast in death, a big burial. You know, one was carried to Abraham's bosom. The third one is a contrast in eternity. You know, here he says in verse 23, starting from verse 23, in hell, where he was in torment, in hell. King James Version and NIV say in hell, but actually the Greek word, it is not hell. The Greek word is Hades, H-A-D-E-S. It's not hell. You know, it's Hades. Hades is the temporary place where the dead are being kept for judgment. It's Hades, because New Testament is written in Greek, you know, not in Hebrew. The Old one is Old Testament is in Hebrew, you know. So here it says that actually the rich man and the beggar was in Hades. Hades is a temporary place. Hell is a permanent place. So it's definitely not in hell. See, one day death will give up the bodies and Hades will give up the soul, Revelation 20:13, and the lost will stand before God in judgment. Now, from our lost description of this parable, we learn that Hades have two sections. One, it is paradise. The other, it is where the rich man was put there, a place of judgment. Paradise, you know, here it is called Abraham's side or Abraham's bosom, another word, version. And the other one is, we don't know what name now. It's, you know, where this man, this rich man was in torment, you know, being very hot, being fire. But many theologians believe that our Lord emptied paradise part when Hades, you know, the paradise part of Hades when he rose from the dead and returned to the Lord. John 20, 17 and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. You write down and go back and have a look. So now we know that today, you know, in paradise in heaven, you know, so we know that today the paradise is in heaven already, if we believe these theologians, lah, you know. So no need to, I always remember John Stott's book on evangelical. Sometimes we Christians argue on non-essential issues, you know, unimportant issues, and break friendship with that, you know. Like the Lord is going to come again. Some say, you know, we have 1,000 years reign on earth. You know, some say no. Some say dispensation. I come from Dallas dispensation. But when I graduated, I remembered one professor say, hey, when you go out there, Dallas people, don't insist on this, because there are people also with scripture, you know, backing them to believe there's no 1,000 years. Why break friendship? Friendship, you know, Christian friendship is more important. These are non-essential. Another non-essential is what? Is baptism. Christians, I mean, we Baptists believe in immersion. And some went as far as, if you're not immersed, you're not saved. Where did the Bible say that? You know? The thief on the cross got immersed. Can't even sprinkle. So half up there. You know? So, but what did Jesus say? Today you'll be with me in paradise. He's in paradise, this thief. Remember what he said to the Lord? Not when your kingdom comes, remember me. There's a theologian who writes, this repentant thief, God must have given him an eye to see the next world. What kingdom is he talking about? This Jesus is hanging on the cross, going to die already. Of course, the Jews were believing that Jesus, the Messiah, will come and save them, to overthrow the Romans so that he can have another, the Jewish kingdom. No, God gave him an eye to see beyond this side of eternity. When your kingdom comes, remember me. And his words is so comforting to us. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. So, brothers and sisters, if we die today, tonight, this very moment, we go to be with the Lord. Don't have any fear. You know. But since, you know, this side, we see that, you know, there's no, here, he prayed two things to Abraham, you know. One is he prayed for himself. The first thing it is, you know, I'm so hot here, I'm in torment here, can you send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue? And the Lord said, you know, Abraham said, first thing, because his character, he didn't answer him. Second, because of the eternal state. Firstly, you already have your good things. You already enjoy every day. You have fine dinner. You have, you know, you eat. And then, you know, like there's no tomorrow. You already have your good things. You didn't care for this beggar. And also, secondly, can't answer because there's a great chasm between us. We can't cross over to your place. You can't cross over to my place. Both answer, you know, cannot. It cannot be done. Even if you wanted to do it, it cannot be done. And then secondly, he prayed for him. He prayed for his brothers. This is very interesting, you know. So nobody can come and help me, you know. Then he says in verse 27, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come to this place of torment. When I read this, you know, at least this rich man, not thinking of his brothers who are not dead yet, you know, scared that they will come to, you know, the same place. Suddenly, he had this conscience. Suddenly, he had this kindness that he doesn't want his brother to come here. Now, as a pastor for many years, one of the reasons when we go and share the gospel to old ladies, sometimes they say, my husband died already. You know, now if I accept Christ, I will go to heaven, but I can't see my husband. Which is quite a genuine reason, you know, to be with your dear ones. So how to answer that? Genuine one. One of my church members in Malacca also said that. I preached to the mother in Ipoh, but the mother said, "Mom, daddy died already. He's in another place." Didn't say hell, lah. He's in another place. But now if I accept accept Jesus, I will be with you all. I want to be to be with daddy. Lately, you know, and you can use this. Even those who are lost, you know, they want you who are still alive to be able to go to a better place. Just like this rich man who didn't care about anybody, probably he repented, now too late already, you know, down there. But at least he thought of his, you know, brothers who can be saved, can go to heaven instead of coming here. So if you are ever given that reason, you know, from your parents, you can always cite, I have cited this parable many times, share with them, you know. If, you know, your husband or your wife is in some place, you know, they don't want you to go to that same place with them. They want you to go to heaven just like this man. Recently, I have a request. Pastor, for me, first time, a lady said, you know, Pastor, can you go to my husband's grave and pray for him? And then we find, why? Because every time I dream, he's very sad, you know. Husband is very sad. So far, almost 30, 40 years as a pastor, never gone to the grave to pray for somebody. I mean, when they're alive, you can pray. Dead, really, how to pray, you know, what to pray. You know, can't do anything, but, you know. But then, strangely, I found the husband is a Christian. And she's not. Very good reason I'm going to go with her to the grave and pray. I say, your husband is sad. Why? Because if you die now, you won't be with him. Isn't it? Turn the other way. Yeah, well, I mean, very logical, isn't it? That's why he's sad. He wants you. I hope I can bring him to the Lord in front of the grave, lah. You know, then he accepts the Lord and pray with me. I'm going to him the first week of April. Haven't gone yet. It's true. It's true, isn't it? Just like this, I mean, a non-believer in hell also want his brother not to come here. How much more? That's why in every week service, I always say this without fail. I say this dearly beloved is here. You know, if any family members who are not Christians, any friends who are not here, the only way you can see this brother is that you also believe in the Lord. True, isn't it? Otherwise, you will not be able to see him, however much you love your daddy, how much you love your mommy. If he dies, you won't see him. You know, he has gone to be with the Lord. You are not a believer. You go to another place. So the only way you can see this dearly beloved is only you is a believer. When I was in Dallas, 30 over years ago, when we were in evangelism class, the first class I attended, there was this professor. He says, I'm so happy that all of you come from all over the world to study evangelism so that you can go out to the world to preach and and bring people to the Lord. But I want to ask you one question. Are your parents a believer? Do you know that while you're studying here for 4 years, if your parents die back home, you will never be able to see your parents again? Do you realize that? Of course, we know we study, we know, but it never hit us like that, It never hit me like that. My father died when I was, 5 years old, but I had a stepfather, great man. And that very afternoon, I went back, early 80s, that time no computer, typewriter, tick-tock, I typed a letter to my stepfather. I say, you have been a very good stepfather to us. I would want to see you in heaven. Because while I'm studying here for the 2 years, if suddenly, you die, I will not be able to see you. I want to see you in heaven. With tears in my eyes, I type the letter, send it. And of course also I get another brother around my stepfather's age to go and visit him. 2 months later, my brothers told me he accepted the Lord. Praise God. But none of us take that. We don't know. If your parents today, do not accept the Lord, this side of eternity, you have no chance. The moment they die, you cannot, there's nothing you can do. So while they are alive, let us go and do what is needed. If we have shared the gospel with them, we have bring people to share, and if they still refuse, then at least our conscience is clear. We have done our best, but they have not received, then they are responsible to God. Not that they have not heard the gospel. It's from you. You are the closest to them. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the pastor. Don't blame the evangelism committee. It's your responsibility. It's your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your children, all of them. It's your responsibility. Pray for them. You have evangelism, explore. Bring them. You get pastors to go and visit them. I would gladly go with you to your parents, or to whoever, auntie or whatever, to share the gospel. No, I'm willing to go with you. Do whatever we can, to bring the gospel to them. Because after that, you will not be able to do it once they're gone. It's your responsibility. I hope it hits you like it hit me. If they die while you're here, you'll never see them again forever. Let's remember that. All of us have friends, brothers and sisters who are non-Christians, So our responsibility, it is to reach out to them, reach out to our non-Christian friend. So brothers and sisters, may this story remind us our responsibility to the unsaved. It is for them, to share the gospel with them. And whatever God has blessed us with, let us, be a blessing to other people. There are people who are in need, physically, not just money, sometimes for care, sometimes a visit, sometimes a kind word, sometimes a hug, whatever it is. Let's do it because we will never pass this way again. Let us be, live the life of a Christian wherever God has placed us. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a very famous preacher in London, he says that actually churches no need to do evangelism. If we, all of us Christians, live our life out in the world, marketplace, people will flock to the church. Problem is, we are only Christian these 2 hours. The moment we go back home, when we're working, we go back to our old self. We do not have Christ in our life. We do not have lifestyle evangelism. We do not live a Christian life in our place of work, in our neighborhood. We do not. That's why Jesus said, let us be light and salt of the earth. That's where. The whole earth, wherever you are. Your whole life, in your neighborhood, you may be the only Christian in there. In your place of work, you may be the only Christian there. I don't know. So let your light shine so that people will be attracted and not one day regret when we see the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this reminder this morning as we look at this parable of the rich man and Lazarus. We see, Lord, that you have given us different status in life. But whatever we are, Lord, we are to shine for you, especially for our brothers and sisters, for our parents who are not Christians yet. We pray for them, Lord. Help us to reach out to them. Help us to pray for them, Lord. Help us to invite them to the church and to share the gospel with them so that one day we can be with them forever in your presence. We pray for all the non-Christian parents here, non-Christian children, non-Christian friends and relatives, Lord. We have. Help us, Lord, to pray for them. Help us to reach out to them, Lord. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.